writes this book of 1 Thessalonians. So a little reminder, Paul writes 1 Thessalonians from the city of Corinth. So he's traveled now through Europe, through Greece. He comes to a city down by Athens called Corinth. While he's in Corinth, he receives word back from Thessalonica, and he sends a letter back to them. That was the first letter of Thessalonians. Now, several months have passed. During these months, by the way, in that first letter, he writes concerning the coming of Christ, concerning Christ's coming. Several months have passed, and during these months now, the church in Thessalonica has gone through a great persecution. They've been persecuted because of their beliefs, because of their teaching, because of their preaching, because they've trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they've gone through persecution. By the way, that's already been told by God. God says those that live godly will suffer persecution. So they've gone through a great time of persecution. Looking back in 1 Thessalonians, and we'll study some things there now in that book. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Look in verse 4. So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. So word is coming back to Paul that they were going through a great persecution in a great tribulation time there, and they were enduring this persecution and this trouble that they were going through in their church there in Thessalonica. Now remember, Paul had written concerning the second coming of Christ. Now those of you that know the end times know that during the end times, or before Jesus comes back to reign upon this earth, there will be a time of tribulation upon the earth. There will be a seven-year tribulation here upon this earth just before Jesus comes back, or just before his second coming. The people in Thessalonica, or the church in Thessalonica, thought because of this persecution, they said, man, we've missed the rapture, and we're going through the tribulation period. Basically, that's how they felt. They thought that they were living in this tribulation period that would come before Christ's second coming. They said, now, Paul, you wrote to us that we would be called up to meet the Lord in the air. Remember back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, when Paul was talking about the rapture of the church, when the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those that remain shall be called up together to meet him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And so they said, Paul, you wrote us, and you told us, that we would be caught up together in the Lord, to meet the Lord in the air. And before Christ came back, there would be a great tribulation period upon this earth. Now here we are, we're being persecuted. We're going through a time of tribulation. What happened to the rapture? Why didn't Jesus come and take us out of the earth before this tribulation came? So Paul now writes this second book to straighten out some things concerning this the coming of Christ, and help them to understand better the end times, basically because of the problems they are going through. Sometimes Christians will go through tribulation and persecution. They wonder, well, how come? By the way, we've never been through any persecution or tribulation like the tribulation that is to come. No Christians ever, I don't care how bad it's been, it's never been as bad as it will be one day after the rapture of the church. And we'll look at some of these things then in this study here. So they were thinking that they were going through the tribulation period. And that's the great tribulation talked about in the Bible. And Paul writes this second letter. And basically there's three thoughts or purposes behind this letter. First of all, in chapter 1, verse 3, he says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. Now isn't that amazing? Here they are, they're going through a great time of tribulation. They're going through a great time of persecution. And Paul says, the report I got back is that you're growing. Isn't that amazing? We think that the times of tribulation, we think that the times of persecution, we think that the times of trouble are setbacks. If you'll check out your Christian life, if you look at your Christian life, usually the times that we'll grow are the times that we're being persecuted. Jason and I, a couple weeks ago, were out soul winning. We knocked on the door, and a lady came to the door and talked to us in very broken English. And just then, her husband, somebody drove up in a car and dropped her husband off. He came up, and they invited us into their apartment. We walked up the steps into the second floor of their apartment. This was down in Phoenix. And I asked them, "Where are you from?" And the husband could speak a little better English than the wife. And he said, "We're from the Ukraine." And it surprised me. I said, "You're from Russia?" And he said, "Yes, that's where we're from." And I asked him how long he'd been in this country. And he said that he'd been here, oh, I think it was 6 months or something close to that, somewhere around 6 months that they'd been here in the United States. And I began to talk to them, and I asked them basically if they were Christians. And they said, yes, they were both Christians. He tried to tell me a little story about how back when he was about 17 years of age, he had gotten a Bible. And he had taken that Bible, and he had gone through the Russian army with that Bible, and he was greatly persecuted for having that Bible. I don't think he got saved at that time, but at least he had owned a Bible and went through great persecution as a result of that Bible. When he got out of the Russian army, he met, I don't know exactly when it was, but he met this lady, and they had gotten married. Well, his sister, who was a Christian over in Russia, she was saved. When he got out of the army, she bought a gift for him, bought him a Bible, and gave him a Bible, and he got saved over there in Russia. He said over there in Russia, now they had five children. He and his wife were both saved and attended church over there in Russia. Now, attending church in Russia is a little bit different than attending church over here. Over there in Russia, when they attended church, they would have, they had a room, we were just in a small living room there. And they said their church over there, when they gathered together, that room was not much big. It was about half the size of this, probably a quarter the size of this. And they would jam 100 adults in that room just to have church. Now they had their, now you could go to their state church. It was run by the state. But if you wanted to have a church that preached the Bible, I mean, they would get up, find some house someplace, and they'd all jam into that place just to hear the Bible. Now it's against the law in Russia to go to church under the age of 18. You can't go to church till you're 18 years of age. It's against the law to go to church over in Russia. By the way, during the persecution over there, as a result of the persecution over there, they probably have some of the greatest Christians in the world today. Probably some of the strongest Christians in the world today are in Russia because they're being persecuted over there. If you want to be a Christian over there, they said, the one lady, her brother is a Christian. He's in the Russian army over there. Everybody has to go in the Russian army for a couple of years. Her brother's over there, and he's being persecuted right now. They persecute him. Now they haven't thrown him in prison or anything. But everybody gives him a hard time because he's saved, because he's a Christian. I wonder if we had that kind of persecution over here in America. Now, we may not have as big a churches over there, but the ones you got, you know they're saved. You may not be able to pack out the buildings over there all the time, but the ones you get in there, you know they're saved. Because they get caught in those churches. Many of them are put in prison. Many of them are beaten. They're all persecuted, every one of them. They got the KGB and everything else looking out for these underground churches over there. And that, if they find the leaders of those churches over there, they'll have them sent off to Siberia or have them put to death or imprisoned. Now, you might not have great, big, huge churches over there, but the Christians you got over there are Christians. You know they're saved because they're coming out at the expense of losing their lives, losing their families, being put in prison, being persecuted. And yet there's great growth in the individual lives of the Christians over there. And so that was something. I was driving down through Phoenix to pick up Jason. On the way there, I said, I want to stop at that house right there. I don't know why. I said, that's where we're going. I picked up Jason. I went back down and started looking for that house. I said, here's where we're going to start, right here. Just happened to be those Russian Christians there, down there in Phoenix. They'd been saved over in Russia. And somehow it got over. I don't know the whole story. Couldn't understand it all. And listened to it best I could. But he told me, it'd be interesting. I'm going to wait till one day he gets to speak English good. Then I'll go over there and get the whole story from him. But that was an amazing thing. But the persecution. And so first thing he did was encourage the church to persevere in spite of their testing. So sure, you're going through some persecution right now. But just stay with it. Just keep on. Keep on. Don't quit. You got some persecution now? Stick with it. Secondly, in chapter 2, look in verse 1, he said, Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not so soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letters from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So the first thing he did, it was encourage them to keep on. Their time of tribulation, keep on. Don't quit. Persevere. Keep on going. The second thing he taught them in chapter 2, we see, he said, now, don't worry. There are things that are going to take place before this day of the Lord. So he tried to explain some more things concerning the end times now. Yes, there will come a day of tribulation upon the earth. But there are some things that will take place first before this tribulation. So this is not the tribulation because these things haven't taken place yet. So he wrote, secondly, to explain the events leading up to the tribulation. That they are not going through that tribulation in the end times. And to explain why they're not going through it. And explain some things that will happen leading up to this tribulation. And some things surrounding the tribulation during that time. And then in chapter 3, verse 1, it says, finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that way may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. Here's the third thing he said. Now, you've been through some persecution. I commend you for that. Keep on. This is not the tribulation. There are some things that will come up to the tribulation before the tribulation comes. But thirdly, keep on serving God. If you're in tribulation, just keep on serving Him. So we are encouraged and we have confidence that ye are doing now what God has commanded you to do and that you'll keep doing what God has commanded you to do. So just keep on serving the Lord. So basically three things he told them. Number one, persevere in spite of testing. Number two, there are some things leading up to the tribulation. Number three, be busy serving God. Just stay busy serving the Lord. Well, here's how I've outlined the book, and basically we've seen those three things in three different chapters. And so we'll outline the book in these three chapters, basically with those thoughts that we've already covered. Persevering in spite of testing, events leading up to the tribulation, and keep serving the Lord. The first thing we'll call waiting. Waiting. He said, verse 4, so that we ourselves glory in you, in the churches of God, for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. He said, first of all, we're glad, we glory in you because of your patience during this time of tribulation. During this time of tribulation, you've kept on. You haven't quit. You've kept on. But then he encourages them by going on by the, look at verse 6. Seeing it as a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. You could say that Paul was a hellfire and damnation preacher. You read it right there. I talked to a lady the other day. She says, it's been several weeks ago. I invited her out to church. And she said, well, I'll come out to church, but I don't want to go to one of those hellfire damnation preaching churches. I said, well, lady, you just come on out. We'd be glad to have you. I didn't say we weren't a Bible preaching church. I didn't tell her that, but I told her to come on out anyway. And I just come on out to church. And by the way, Paul believed in hellfire and damnation preaching. He says, now you folks, you've gone through some tribulation. And you've gone through some problems, and those that are unsaved are giving you a hard time. Those that are not saved are persecuting you, and they're giving you a rough time. But just wait. It won't always be like this. One day, Jesus is coming back again. And when Jesus comes back again, Jesus can take care of every one of those folks that don't believe. He'll take care of them. He said, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction. Now, how long everlasting is? That's a long time. I mean, there's no end to that. Everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power, when He shall come to be glorified in His saints and to be admired in all them that believe. So He is saying, now there, you believe, and you're going through some persecution, but don't worry, one day you're going to be in heaven. And all those folks that are persecuting you that know not God, those that aren't saved, those that don't obey the Word of God, when Jesus comes back, He will take vengeance upon them. So don't worry. Just keep serving God. As long as you're obeying God, and as long as you're saved and obedient to the Word of God, don't worry about the persecution. Just keep on serving God. As long as you're saved and obeying this book right here, don't worry when troubles come. God will take care of it when He comes back. As long as you're saved, and as long as you're obeying this book right here, just keep on. When the troubles come, when the problems come, just keep on obeying it. So many people, they get saved, and everything goes great for a while, and then they run into problems. And they say, well, you know, this being saved isn't cracked up. You know, this isn't what I thought it was going to be. You know, I got some problems. I thought all my problems were going to go away when I got saved. And they quit serving God. They quit following Him. They turn back to sin, turn back to the devil's ways again. Bless God, just keep serving Him. God can take care of that. God can take care of those that persecute you. And when He comes back again, those that are not saved will go through eternal, everlasting destruction, the Bible says. And you'll come back in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. So He said, first of all, I commend you. You've been patient during this time. You've endured the tribulation. But keep on enduring the tribulation. Don't take things in your own hands. Just wait on the Lord. And when He comes back, He'll recompense tribulation to those who had troubled you. So first of all, waiting. Waiting during tribulation. Waiting, having patience during trouble. And waiting on the Lord to take care of it. Well, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the second thing I have is watching. First of all, waiting. Secondly, watching. He said, now you're going through some tribulation now, but that's not the tribulation. You're going through some troubles now, but that's not the trouble that will come. So you're going through some wrath of some now, but you're not going through the wrath that is yet to come. And just watch for certain things. Here are some things that will take place first before that tribulation comes. Let's look at basically three things he said in this chapter concerning the events leading up to and surrounding the tribulation period. First of all, in verse 1, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him. That's the first thing he says. Now, first of all, he says there's going to be a gathering together unto Him. He said, now remember what I wrote to you in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Remember what I told you, that we will be gathered together with Him, caught up together with Him in the air. He said, that's got to take place first. If you're still on this earth, then you're not going through tribulation. You would have been caught up already. You would have been gathered unto Him. So before that tribulation can come, there's got to be a gathering together unto Him. And we call that the rapture. The rapture of the church. That's the first thing he told them. There will be a rapture. There will be a gathering together unto Him. So don't worry about going through the tribulation if you're saved. If you're saved, you won't go through the tribulation. You'll be gathered up together with Him. Now, if you're not saved, better start worrying about the tribulation. Better get ready for it. If you are saved, then you will be gathered up together with Him. Look at verse 6. It says, now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. So there's somebody that withholdeth right now. It's keeping back this wrath and the tribulation that will take place. During the tribulation time, the devil will be unleashed upon this earth. Right now, there's something that is withholding him. The devil cannot pull out all of his forces upon this earth right now. Now, he is the god of this world. He right now is the ruler of darkness. He's the god of this world right now. But he can't do everything he wants to do. And everything he does backfires on him anyway. Everything he does. He killed Jesus. Backfired on him. The shed blood of Jesus Christ would cleanse us from sin. He's tried all down through the ages to ruin and wreck God's plan upon this earth, but everything he's done so far has backfired on him. He's brought sin into this world. He's brought sickness. He's brought death. He's brought everything in the world into this world, all that's bad into this world. Yet God is still in control, and there are still some today, even with the wickedness that's going on, there are still some today that are going to trust Jesus Christ, their Savior. There are still some today that are going to get saved and serve God. The devil, right now, can't control everything. Why? Because there's something that withholds him. Look in verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. So there's something that's holding back the devil unleashing all of his power upon this earth. At the time when the rapture takes place, the saved on this earth will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And with the saved goes the Holy Spirit of God that's living inside the believer. Now the Holy Spirit will still be around. The Holy Spirit is still God. The Holy Spirit will still be saving people during the tribulation period. But you mark it down, when the church, when those that are saved are taken off this earth, there'll be nobody left to allow the governments and allow all on this earth to do what they please. Right now, there's still a force upon this earth of those that believe this book right here, and those that hold to this book right here, and still have the philosophy that God has put inside those that are saved. There's still those that are saved on this earth, and they're still, the devil still, because of the saved people on this earth, can't run this world the way he wants to. Still can't do it. Now, he's doing a pretty good job, because we've got a lot of Christians that aren't withholding anymore. The Bible says there that he that letteth will let. That word letteth means to hinder. He that hindereth now will be taken away. And the church will be taken away, be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. That's the rapture of the church. After that, then those that are left on the earth, the unsaved, will be able to believe all the lies of the devil. Because only the ones that can understand the spiritual things of God are those that are saved. The only ones. All the saved are taken off the earth. Then they'll behold a lie. Look in verse 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So the church can be taken away. All that's going to be left on the earth is just the unsaved. Well, I wouldn't want to be on an earth with all the unsaved. I wouldn't want to be left with just the unsaved folks. And he says, all that's going to be left are those that aren't saved, those that have believed not the truth. And he said, when that time comes, they're all going to believe a lie. They're just going to believe a lie. They're going to follow the Antichrist. The first thing is the rapture of the church. The second thing is the revelation of the Antichrist. Look back in verse 3 now. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there be a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So he said, now before the tribulation comes, first of all, the church is going to be raptured. All the saved are going to be taken out of the earth. The second thing that will happen before the tribulation comes is the man of sin will be revealed. The Bible calls him the man of sin, calls him the son of perdition. Verse 8 calls him that wicked. Maybe what it's saying is that wicked one, called the wicked one, called the man of sin, called the man of perdition, son of perdition. That's the Antichrist, talked about in 1 John. He's the Antichrist. Now, the Bible has several different names for him, but we have basically given him, called him the name of the Antichrist. He that is against Christ, or a substitute for Christ. So he said, don't worry. The Antichrist isn't here yet, so the tribulation hasn't taken place yet. You're not in the tribulation. First of all, the rapture hasn't taken place. Secondly, the son of perdition, the man of sin, hasn't been revealed. So you're not in the tribulation yet. The Antichrist has not yet been revealed. So there is an Antichrist who is coming before this great 7 years of tribulation comes. Let me show you some things very quickly about this Antichrist. By the way, the Antichrist could be somewhere in the world today. Look in Revelation chapter 6. Well, hold your finger in Revelation chapter 6 and look over in Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19, look in verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. He that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and that name is called the Word of God. There's coming a day when Jesus Christ will come out of the heavens at his second coming, riding upon a white horse. He'll bring back with him his saints that have gone up to heaven with him, and will come riding back with him. That is the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now notice, he's pictured as riding upon a white horse. That's Jesus, the second coming of Christ. Now look back at Revelation chapter 6 and verse 1. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, and one of the four beasts saying, Come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth to conquering and to conquer. Who does this look like? Looks like Jesus, doesn't it? Jesus is the one that's coming riding on a white horse. Jesus is the one that will come back with his saints and to reign upon this earth for 1,000 years. That's Jesus. Revelation chapter 6, we've got somebody come riding out on a white horse, just like Jesus will do one day. But this is not Jesus. This is the anti-Jesus. This is not Christ. This is the Antichrist. Looks just like Jesus, doesn't he? And there will be many people that will follow him as Christ. Many people will set him up, and the Bible says he comes conquering and to conquer. When he comes into the earth, he will come like Christ, but he's the Antichrist. And he will come and set up upon this earth his kingdom. Look what this kingdom will be made up of. Look in chapter 17, Revelation 17, verse 12. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb. And the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. So you see, in these verses, this beast, this Antichrist, will come, and he'll gather 10 nations together. And he'll have these 10 nations that he will basically rule at least the Western world at that time. And he'll rule the world basically from these 10 nations, this 10 nation block of power that he'll put together, unite these 10 nations together. That's under the Antichrist. So he will come, first of all, he'll ride upon his white horse, basically figuratively speaking. And he will gather these 10 nations together as one big nation, and he will rule from these 10 nations. Now, he comes back with a bow. He didn't have any arrows with that bow. You know how he's going to conquer? He's going to conquer with peace. Now, the way the world's set up for it right now, aren't they? The world's set up for worldwide peace right now. I mean, we're the closest we've ever been. I mean, already the United States is flirting with Russia. It's right now. Right now. Right now, the United States, there's another summit meeting planned in not very long from here. A summit meeting planned again. Well, the United States is going to go over with Russia again. And Russia, I saw on TV a couple weeks ago. I remember, I think it was on 60 Minutes or something like that. One of the news programs. They had one of our, I think the Admiral from the United States Navy was over there in Russia. They went through and showed him everything. They took him up inside the Russian jets. They showed him everything. They asked him questions. And one of the 60-minute reporters was right there, had a microphone hooked up to the Admiral, and he was just asking questions. How fast is this thing flying? How many gallons of fuel does it hold? I mean, they were asking, and the Russians were telling him everything. Telling him everything about these jets. They showed him their missile bases. They showed him everything over there. Just took him around and showed him everything. And I don't think they showed him everything. But they made him think they showed him everything anyway. And he asked him, one of the reporters came up to him and asked him this. He said, basically asked him something about the enemy. And the Russian guy said this, we have never considered the United States as our enemy. Oh, that's a good one, isn't it? And he said, well, if we're not your enemy and you're not our enemy, then who is the enemy? That's what he asked. And the Russian didn't say anything. He said, well, if we join together, who are we going to fight? China? Boy, you should have saw that Russian backpedaling then. He said, man, I couldn't believe the Russian said that, man. He could have started a world war right there, man. If he could have got that Russian to say something bad about China, man, the next day China would have bombed Russia. And but couldn't imagine him saying something like that. If something as important as that, saying, who's our enemy? China? Now, this was not American politics that were saying this. This was some news reporter that was saying this. And the Russian guy said, no, we do not consider China as a threat or as our enemy. And he better believe he's going to say that. And they're not our enemy either. We don't have any enemies. Russia doesn't have any enemies. They want to be friends with everybody as long as we do it Russian way. Of course. We can have peace as long as we're all communists. There will be peace in the world as long as everybody's communist. That's not even true. Chinese are communists, and they don't get along with the Russian. And worldwide communism isn't going to take care of it either. But the world wants peace. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now, I'm not advocating going over and blowing up Russia today. We ought to wait till tomorrow. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 1. It says, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now, the day of the Lord is talking about this tribulation time. That's the day of the Lord. He said, now this tribulation period, the day of the Lord is going to come upon us as a thief in the night. Look at verse 3. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. So it says, when they say peace and safety, that's when the destruction is going to come. When everybody's got all their arms laid down, when everybody's at peace with one another, that's when the destruction's going to come. That's what he said. The Antichrist, when he comes, he will come to bring peace to the world. For a time, he'll bring peace. And he'll set upon this earth great peace and safety. And the Bible says, now when that peace and safety comes, when that Antichrist is in control, then the day of the Lord will come. Then look for the tribulation period to begin. Look over in Daniel chapter 9. I've got no time to go through all these things concerning the Antichrist. But let me just show you something very quickly here. In Daniel chapter 9, look in verse 24. Daniel chapter 9, verse 24 says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks. And 62 weeks the street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the Prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Now, I have not got time to go into detail on these verses right here. I've gone into detail already on our study of the book of Daniel. But basically, here's what it says. It says there will be 70 weeks, but the 70th week, now each one of these weeks are weeks of years. The 70th week, there will be one that will come, that is a prince. Now, there's two princes in that verse. There's a prince, the Antichrist, and then there is the prince, the Messiah, that will come. This is talking about the prince, the Antichrist, shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week he shall cause a sacrifice and oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even to the consummation that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. He said, now he will confirm for 1 week, or for 7 years, he'll make a covenant with the Jews. Now that's who this is talking about right here, prophecy to the Jewish people. He said, now there's one that's coming. This prince, this Antichrist, will come and make a covenant with you. Now here's what he'll do. He'll say, okay, you Jewish people have been fighting you all through the ages. I'm going to protect you. Now I've got this 10 League of Nations that I am in control of. and we can protect you from all your enemies. Of course, your enemy, one of the biggest enemies is Russia. And he said, we're going to protect you from Russia and all the Eastern powers. We're going to protect you from all of them. And the Antichrist will bring peace. And he said, I'll sign a covenant with you for 7 years, or 1 week of years for 7 years. And we'll sign that covenant with you. So he'll come as a peacemaker to bring peace in the earth for 7 years. The only trouble is, he's a liar. And in the midst of that week, he breaks the covenant with Israel. He says, Israel, you can go back to your temple worship. You can rebuild your temple. You can go back to your sacrifices. We'll protect you. We'll keep the enemies from you, and you can go about your worship the way you want to. We'll give you religious freedom. We'll protect you. We'll let you rebuild your temple. We'll take care of you. In the midst of those 7 years, he breaks the covenant with them. So he's a protector with them, and he comes in peace. But then the last 3.5 years begins with the abomination of desolation that Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 25, called here, the abominations, he shall make it desolate. The abomination of desolations, when the Antichrist breaks the covenant with Israel, and then you'll see the last 3.5 years of tribulation come upon the earth during that time. The Antichrist will come bringing peace. Well, look back at 2 Thessalonians. Let's finish up the book very quickly. 2 Thessalonians, in chapter 2, verse 8. It says, when shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. He says, then, after that tribulation period, Jesus is going to come back again, and he'll take care of the Antichrist at that time. So first of all, we see the rapture of the church, then the revelation of the Antichrist, and then the return of Christ. When Jesus comes back, he'll take care of the Antichrist. He'll set up his reign upon the earth for that 1,000 years, and he'll rule and reign on this earth. The Antichrist will be taken care of. We'll see the return of Christ. So waiting, keep waiting in the Lord. Watching, watch for certain things to take place. Watch for the Antichrist. Watch for the rapture. Watch for these things. And then thirdly, working. Since Jesus is coming, he said we should be faithful to do what he's commanded us. He said, we glory in the fact that you're doing what God's commanded you to do, and that you will continue doing what he has commanded you to do. Working. So we ought to be waiting on the Lord, ought to be watching, and we ought to be working and doing what God has commanded us to do. In chapter 3, verse 4, he said, and we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. And then he goes through and explains several of these things. I'll look at verse 7. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you, neither did any man's bread eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail. Look in verse 9. Not because we have more not power, but to make ourselves an ensample. Verse 11. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. And says verse 13, but ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing. So don't worry about the busybodies. Don't worry about the criticizers. Don't worry about that crew right there. Just keep on serving God. There's always going to be somebody that doesn't like what's going on. Just keep on serving God. Don't worry about the busybodies. God will take care of them. God will take care of the critical folks. God will take care of the complainers. You just keep working. Keep serving God. Keep doing what God's told you to do. Any place you see a work of God being done, you got those that don't want to get with the program. You'll always have that. Any place you go where God's got a work to be done, you always got somebody that wants to drag their feet, wants to complain, wants to criticize. But don't worry about it. Just keep serving God. Just keep doing what God wants you to do. Just keep working. The theme of 2 Thessalonians is this. Same as 1 Thessalonians. Jesus is coming. So in 1 and 2 Thessalonians, Paul goes over several things with this church at Thessalonica concerning the coming of Christ. And so the theme then is Jesus is coming. So he said, don't worry, you're not in the tribulation yet. First of all, the rapture will take place. Then the Antichrist will be revealed. And then after the tribulation, Christ will come back and take care of the things that the Antichrist has done upon this earth. Well, that's the book of 2 Thessalonians, and let's pray.